Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Hello, I'm Jimmy Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
500,000 federal employees earn more than $100,000 per year. Now that is almost one in five, with 2.8 million federal employees as of 2011. And that's not including the DOD or Department of Defense, which adds an additional 1.4 million rounded. The federal budget for these employees, that is without the DOD included, is $16 billion per year, and that does not take into account the built-in pay increases these folks get no matter what goes down with you in this economy. And these are the jobs, these and the union jobs. These are the jobs Obama is earnestly, assiduously working to protect. And how does he protect these jobs? Well, by raising your taxes. Now, I don't begrudge anyone making a good living. I really don't. But when government throttles free enterprise, makes it nearly impossible to do business, refuses to release business to develop jobs for the private sector, but at the same time increases the squeeze on non-government workers to make sure that these government employees don't suffer with the rest of us in this economy, friend, it begins to become a problem. I mean, you do understand, surely, that it is the non-government workers who are paying for the government workers to have jobs. I mean, is there something here you're not getting? Or in other words, those of you, bless your hearts, who are in the government sector jobs or the so-called public sector jobs, you better wake up and start putting pressure on your dear Obamster to let the American economic engine free enterprise roar. To a green light business, that they might take off with pedal to the metal, developing our natural resources, for example, like oil, natural gas, and coal. Or as, listen, this thing is going to turn ugly. I mean, how long do you think this can be sustained? I mean, Americans are going to begin resenting the idea that they have to carry all this on their backs and listen to the president-elect say stuff like, you know, everybody has to do their part, why a call for shared sacrifice, when he goes off on $7 million three-day vacations. What? And protects the public sector and union jobs from sharing the sacrifice? What is this man about anyway? No president I've known in my lifetime has taken a $7 million three-day vacation. What's that about? That's just over the top. Come on. And while he's talking this big game about everybody doing their part, he uses his power of executive order to give all federal workers a pay raise, including Congress. Which is among, you know, many of the egregious abuses of power this president has committed since usurping the office of the presidency. Only the Congress has the power to spend money. Now, I do understand that the conservative side of the GOP stopped this. They did not take the bribe, you know, of a pay increase that Obama added put into that latest executive decree, no doubt in order to buy them off. Anyway, they got together and voted him down. That's good news. Senator Rob Portman responded to Obama's pay raise for federal employees in a New Year's Eve statement when he said, quote, "At a time when our country is facing record debt and trillion-dollar deficits, the last thing Washington should do is reward itself with a pay increase," end quote. And I would add to what the good senator said that when every American family is struggling to make ends meet in this depressed economy, paying almost $4 a gallon for gas and food prices creeping up and up, although if you look at the government-produced charts, you don't see it so much. We know it because we're in the stores buying necessary food to feed our families. And while disposable income is shrinking and jobs are increasingly difficult to find, Obama does not need to be flaunting his callousness in our faces, taking $7 million vacations while adding greater burden upon the backs of taxpayers. But wait, it gets even better. Or worse, President-elect Hope and Change Obama goes on $7 million vacations, attempts to violate the Constitution and give pay raises to federal workers by executive decree, Thankfully, he was stopped. And now, adding insult to injury, he has initiated, by executive decree, a program whereby social services workers will get bonuses for enrolling more people on the SNAP. And that's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Another government handout program that is paid for by struggling families trying to make ends meet, while American taxpayers are forced to adjust their living standards downward, Obama goes on living high on your backs. SNAP was created to give families a temporary safety net, but the program, like all government programs tend to do, has already grown to an $80 billion per year government handout. There is almost no accountability. Abuse and fraud is rampant in the program and even encouraged. Hardworking, struggling Americans are footing the bill for all this. Now get this. Now, Obama is providing incentive to motivate social workers to recruit foreign nationals, migrant workers, and non-citizen immigrants to apply for SNAP, all with the snap of his royal fingers and a stroke of the executive pen. He decides that this is a good time to increase the tax burden upon the American people. But hey, he's going to give the minimum wage earners a raise. Yeah, he has called for an increase in the minimum wage to $9 per hour. Now, no doubt minimum wage workers, most of whom have voted for Obama, I'm sure, are happy to hear that. Now, can't wait to see it in their checks. But oh my, have you not thought this thing through? That minimum wage hike is going to push more employers to reduce hours and reduce the number of workers they can hire and pass the uptick in cost they can't cover in those ways to the people who depend on their services or buy their products, which for the most part are not the rich among us. Or even if it is the rich among us, they don't even feel the price increase. Obama keeps harping about the rich who are, if you listen to him, supposed to be the people paying for all this. At least that's what he wants us to believe. But that's not who's paying for all this stuff, friends. The rich are not going to be impacted by this. They will hardly even notice it. It always falls upon the backs of the middle-income American. So Obama is real good about giving everybody a raise, right? Especially to his voter base, you know, government workers, union workers, and low-information minimum wage earners. And of course, this is all done with your money. No way is he going to forego one of his $7 million vacations or reduce his large lifestyle one bit. No way. He works too hard. It's hard work playing, seven rounds of golf a week and meeting with celebrities and stuff. I mean, he's so busy spending taxpayer money. He had no time to go to the Situation Room when our ambassador was being attacked in Benghazi, for example. I mean, he did not even have time to call for regular updates or to follow up and to make certain armed forces were sent to help our ambassador and three other Americans as they were being attacked and killed and evidence indicates tortured by these terrorists. Not only that, he did not have time to make certain that he had the story straight afterwards before he stood in front of the cameras and essentially told the American people that our ambassador and the three brave Americans who tried to protect him were killed by rioters reacting to some ridiculous movie made by some moron about the Muslim prophet Muhammad who married a 9-year-old girl. Which he did, by the way. Now, there's a love story for you. Hey, New Times Slow and Santa Maria Sun in your recent publication, 2013 edition of Brides. How about printing that in your next issue of under the title, It's Your Love Story? There you go. Why not? Muhammad loved that little 9-year-old girl that he married, didn't he? Better yet, how about you feature that chick that wants to marry her horse? After all, that's her love story, isn't it? Bible Thump Alert. Bible Thump Alert. All humanist manifesto subscribing antichrist, Christian phobic, God haters beware. I'm about to quote from the book our founders referenced more than any other single book, The Fountain of Our Concepts of Liberty and Justice for All, with excerpts inscribed on virtually all our historical monuments and quoted in so many of our documents that anyone with a shred of honesty would have to admit that, at least in the origins of this country, it was the most revered, respected, honored, treasured book in the country. And you guessed it, I'm talking about the Bible. Quote, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature," end quote. But I know I'm talking to some spiritually dull folks, not biblically literate. So let's look at the next verse to make sure you rightly understand what we're saying here. Quote, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working." And by the way, that's what you call it, isn't it? Men with men. MWM. Huh? "Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." That's not M-E-A-T, it's M-E-E-T. It means fitting or appropriate. There's absolutely no question about it, is there? God even anticipated what language you might use to describe it, so there could be no mistake about it. talking about homosexuality. Romans 1:27-28. "How perverse can you get over there at the Santa Maria Sun and the New Times San Luis Obispo? In your 2013 publication of Brides, you refer to the natural union of the man and the woman that you represent in your magazine, cutely, as fools in love." Isn't that funny? "And the two women who married contrary to the laws of California, by the way, who have been given over to vile affections, who changed the natural use to that which is obviously against nature," well, you present them as normal, you know, well, not foolish anyway, huh? Hey, real serious. The Bible says, quote, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God," end quote. And even if they don't deny him with their lips, they certainly do with their lives. And only a fool could look at the natural God-given anatomy of the male and the female and fail to get it, you know? Fail to see what is the natural use, the natural order, and what is, on the other hand, contrary to nature. Indeed, my friend, it's the lesbo couple that are your fools in love. Obama is simply too busy to be bothered with stuff like a terrorist attack on our consulate in Benghazi, huh? Even when the ambassador is being attacked and his life is in danger, we had no time to go to the Situation Room or even to make certain our ambassador and the three Americans under attack got the help they were asking for and that they needed. He did not even have time, my friends, to talk to those who were in the Situation Room, who watched the live feed of the attack and, according to Panetta, knew within 2 hours it was a terrorist attack. I guess Obama simply didn't have time to get updated on this intel. I mean, what else explains why he trotted out there and alluded to the movie made him do it lie that was being circulated by his administration to explain the Benghazi attack? You see, because if he did know the truth about this, well, then, hey, where's Joe? Where's Joe Wilson when you need him? What do you think about that, Joe Wilson? Did I hear you right, sir? Did you say to Obama, you lie? Is that what you said? Huh. I agree. The president alleged is liar-in-chief. You go ahead and believe his lies if you want to. But as for me, I'm not blinded by the color of his skin, precisely because I am colorblind when it comes to ascertaining his character. You see, I go with Martin Luther King. No way do I think he was not told the truth about what was going down in Benghazi. But my point at this point is, yes, we have to deal with a president now who does not have time to do his job, but always finds time to chart off to the greens and play with his 1%er buds while taking $7 million vacations. I guess it's just a sign of the times, eh? Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! Quote, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God," end quote. Now, some among you of my astute listeners no doubt caught how many of these apply very directly to Obama. Obama is surely a sign of the times. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back. Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Let's go over that list again. You know, what am I talking about? I ended the last segment with one of those explosive brain massage insights that get you addicted to this show. Most of what needs to be said about sequestration has been said and is being said, except what, you know, there is one insight that you really got to get on that, and I'll come back to it in a moment. In the last segment, I said Obama is a sign of the times. Now, that's a biblical expression referring to things that signal the fulfillment of biblical prophecies regarding the end of the world. In 2 Timothy 3, 1-4, the Bible says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come," or from whence shall these perilous times hail? Quote, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God," end quote. Obama. Now, Obama is the epitome, the perfect example, the archetypical last days character. Look at 1 and 2. "Lovers of their own selves and covetous, $7 million vacations, anyone, while the rest of the country's suffering." Need I say more? Number 3, a boaster. Yep, single-handedly took out Osama. Number 4, proud. Well, it goes without saying. Number 5, disobedient to parents. Well, yeah, failure to honor them, surely. He writes about hearing of his mother's sickness with ovarian cancer, I believe it was, and going right over to the hospital to sit by her side. But we know for a fact that isn't true. He was too busy campaigning and promoting his book at that time. Besides, he told us that he despised her white blood in his veins. He has the usual angst of an abandoned child syndrome. You know, fits the profile perfectly. Anyway, unthankful. It's hard to imagine anyone better representing this than the Obamas, who together show no appreciation for America's history of overturning slavery and putting down prejudice. Instead, they continually focus and beat on the wound, you know, of that part of America's history that we all, by the way, universally in this country, have rejected and repudiated. And then number 7, unholy. He guards against letting the public see the truth about his unholy lifestyle, but it's all going to come out eventually. And then without natural affection. You know, his promotion of homosexuality in this country is a clear evidence of his own perversity. Some of you might remember the early allegations from a homosexual who claimed to have had liaisons with Obama. And then truce breakers. In the category of disloyalty, he is the chief. How many people have got tire marks on their backs from having been thrown under the bus by this man? False accusers? Oh my goodness. A day hardly goes by that Obama does not lay out some outrageous false accusation against Republicans. The most recent is his bald-faced lie about sequestration. I'll explain sequestration in a moment, but get a load of this. First, listen to Jay Carney, his press secretary, in a White House briefing last week in the White House press briefing room, February 19th. Listen to this.
Didn't the idea for the sequester originate here at the White House?
The sequester was something that was discussed, and as has been reported, it was an idea that the White House put forward.
Okay, now, get a load of this statement from President-elect Obama.
First of all, the sequester's not something that I proposed. It's something that Congress has proposed. It will not happen.
For the sake of full disclosure, let's look at the full text of Carney's statement in answer to this question. He said, quote, "The sequester was something that was discussed, and as has been reported, it was an idea that the White House put forward, as we heard." But he went on to say, because it was put forward by Republican Senator Graham and Rudman back in the 80s as part of the Graham-Rudman deal. There is a history here to this, end quote. Well, first of all, Mr. Carney, it was Graham-Rudman Hollings you conveniently left out, the Democrat, who joined those two Republicans in sponsoring that bill. Anyway, and then Carney goes on to drive home the fact that Republicans embraced it and more of them voted for it. And he went on with that business. But then he says this, and this is important, quote, "The issue here is the sequester was designed never to take effect because it was supposed to force Congress to do responsible, difficult things, make choices about how we reduce our deficit in a way that would allow us to avoid the sequester, the indiscriminate, across-the-board, devastating cuts that the sequester represents," end quote. So that's his whole story there. And that's how Obama slithers past these things, you see. He did propose it. He is the one who suggested it to Boehner as a deal maker. But as Carney said, it was something that the Republicans thought of first. And it was designed purposely to never be implemented. That's interesting. And then we have false accuser in the list. And Obama's the false accuser in chief. Oh, my soul. You remember he accused Romney of killing some woman. Outrageous. Over the top. Yet most voters went along with that. He regularly accuses conservatives of what? Wanting to starve grandma and children and poor people and pollute the air and all this. It's just over the top, offensive. It's outrageous how this man so freely throws out the most outrageous accusations against anyone who opposes his agenda. And then the next thing on this list is incontinent, without self-control. Got a light, anyone? Either he's unwilling to quit smoking, which shows an arrogant disregard to the sensibilities of virtually every cigarette-hating liberal out there, or he's without the self-control necessary to do it. And oh my, he is an incontinent spender. For example, $7 million vacations. And of course, all the spending, you know, trillions of dollars in of our tax money. Fierce. The 13th thing here, you've heard him described as a street fighter politician, and he's earned the epithet. That's one of the problems, by the way, with the GOP Gentleman's Club. They don't know how to deal with this guy. They try to treat him like a gentleman, and he's not. He's a common Chicago street thug in a $10,000 suit. Besides, through the window of partial birth abortion, his position on that, and his vote on the Born Alive Protection Act, well, you can see the snarl of Satan in this man's soul. Despisers of those that are good. Now, who has not been affronted by his disregard for our fighting men and women? His rudeness to some of the surviving family of those SEALs who, that'll come out also, in time. Be patient. How those SEALs were signaled out for a terrorist attack that took them out. It's all going to come out, just like the treason that took place in Benghazi will finally come out. And then the next thing in this list, traitors. Interestingly, Obama has committed acts of treason against the Constitution of the United States time and again, using drones to kill a 16-year-old U.S. citizen without due process. It's just one example of so many. His complicity in the maneuvering that went on during the railroading of Obamacare into law was nothing less than treason against the whole idea of representative governance. It's terrible. His use of executive power to infringe upon our Second Amendment rights? Oh my goodness. Then the next two. We have heady and high-minded. I suppose most Obama watchers would agree these words are also appropriately descriptive of Obama's character. And then we finally have this last one, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and that goes without comment. If only Americans were awake to see that Obama truly is a sign of the times, all right? Sequestration. I did a thorough job explaining this in an earlier show, number 396. It's titled, What is the Fiscal Cliff? Now, you can find it by show number on our website. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com and then scroll down the list of shows there to number 396, show number 396. Or you can visit our podcast site where you can subscribe to my radio show and have it automatically downloaded to your device. Go to santamarialighthouse.org and then click on the Brain Massage logo. The Brain Massage logo is a guy sitting in the pose of the thinker musing over the shadow of the cross. You click on that picture and you're taken to our podcast site. And then in the search field, type, what is the fiscal cliff? And then you're going to find the show. What is sequestration? It is a technical, actually in this case, a legal term that essentially means monies, in this case, have been set aside or sequestered until some condition is met. In this case, it means that tax money will not be available to cover certain predetermined spending limits unless a budget deal is agreed to before a certain date. The spending cuts were designed to be unpalatable to both Republicans and Democrats, as Jay Carney mentioned, with the idea that it would motivate the two sides to work out a deal on a budget. Now, Obama thought he could use sequestration to manipulate the Republicans into exactly the position where he has them right now. Oh, yeah. The street fighter made a move a few years ago, stacked the deck, that he calculated would give him a hand he could use to win no matter which way it goes. He offered Boehner a deal. You know, let's pick up the old Graham Rudman Hollings Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Control Act of 1985, probably the 1987 version. And that was a deal that said, unless the president and Congress came up with a balanced budget, automatic cuts in spending would go into effect. That this bill, by the way, in all of its permutations, failed to get the deficit under control, that's beside the point, right? I mean, who's surprised that Obama, or Boehner for that matter, would agree to a fix that has already proven to not work? Anyway, that is what went down. Now the Congress has sent, what, two budgets to the Senate, which have been rejected, of course. Continuing, reads defiance of the Constitution, him and his buddies there, defying the law of the land for something like, what, 5 years running? That whole Obama pack is openly and arrogantly flaunting their disregard for our Constitution, and it just seems like the Americans are sitting back doing nothing. Well, anyway, we're coming up on this deadline, and the automatic cuts are about to go into effect. And Obama is playing the hand he drew from that stacked deck deal he offered Boehner a few years ago. Obama had absolutely and has absolutely no intention of honestly addressing entitlement spending. It's not going to happen. And he believed and believes that because he could demagogue the issue of cuts to entitlement spending and make the Republicans look cruel and uncaring for the elderly, the children, the needy, that he was going to be able to make them buckle and give him what he wanted again. Well, the Republicans so far have not done so. I guess they've decided up to now to call his bluff. And apparently they are willing to let the cuts go into effect. So Obama's playing his hand. He's out there claiming that if these cuts go into a place, all these terrible, disastrous things are going to happen, and it'll all be the Republicans' fault. It was their deal, not his. And he's painting a picture of what will happen if the cuts go into effect that is so far beyond the pale, even his own plants in the government press corps, little Obama speak there, a.k.a. the MSM, are beginning to question. I mean, what is it, something like a 3% reduction in the budget that actually does not even result in a reduction in actual spending? Why? Because even after the cuts go into effect, the government is still going to spend something like $16 billion in excess of what they've been spending. So it's getting out there that Obama's dire predictions are false misrepresentations, exaggerations, lies that he's using to falsely accuse conservatives again. But here's what's really going down. Warning, brain massage missile of insight coming right at you, but don't duck, let it hit. Obama intends for these things to happen, my friend. Yeah, all this stuff he's scaring us about, he expects this to happen, perhaps even plans for it to happen, not from the budget cuts in this bill, but by his own domestic policies. Watch out. Obama is setting this sequestration thing up as the excuse he will use to blame the Republicans for it all, when it does come crashing down. All God-fearing patriots pray. One problem so far, it appears, is that for Obama, is that people are waking up to this. And also, even among the MSM, they're beginning to speak to the fact that Obama is the one, after all, who suggested sequestration in the first place. Maybe it'll backfire. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That is 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message on our listener response hotline. Lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. Or go to thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button and write me an email. I want to hear from you today. Please call or write. Lights on or lights off. I want to hear from you. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Ask 100 churchgoers what connects them to their church and you'll get many different answers. Most, however, would not mention truth as their number one concern. Why? For many, church is about opportunities for socializing or family tradition, and the issue of truth is taken for granted. There's something wrong when a nation boasts 78% of the population is born again, with many of the largest churches in history, and yet we are in a moral freefall and Christianity is increasingly held in contempt. Think about it. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m.